Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Nancy C., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater and your moderator for this morning. Today is Tuesday, February 11th, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 78, the first paragraph. And today's readers are, reader of the text is Jane S., page 164, Lynn S., and our beloved backup is Nancy P., and then our newcomer greeter for the second hour is Ann A., and our host for the second hour is Leah S. Give me a couple of share IDs for yesterday. The 7 a.m. Meeting recorded is 22,151. That's 22151. And for the 10 a.m., it's 22,154. Our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now I'm going to ask Michelle J. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, family. Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Michelle J. And now I've asked Kathy C. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Nancy. Kathy C. from New York. Number 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do this service.
Thank you, Kathy C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. And this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 78, the first paragraph, and I'm going to ask Jane S. to please begin reading for us. Good morning, Jane. Press star 1. Jane, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Thank you.
My apologies. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jane S., and I am I'm a real compulsive overeater. Grateful to say that today by God's grace and mercy. So let's see. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we're doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstrations and done our part. It's water over the dam. Wow, I'm just very grateful to be here today and to be of service. This is the first time I've been able to do this for many years, several years. So thank you, God, for that. What struck me today, there's so much in this paragraph, really, but what struck me was that, you know, the unexpected happens, and all I can share is my experience, strength, and hope, and I've been in and out of this program for almost 16 years, and today, it's been 7.5 months or so since I've been in the step work this time around, and God has brought me to a place where when I read this unexpected happens, to me what's happened is that God has happened. God has come into my life, and God has transformed my heart, my way of looking at things, the reasons that I want to do amends today. My amends journey in the last 7 months has been just so different. I've learned that I thought that I had to go out and make amends right out of the gate when I first came into program and came into the other fellowship. And I was doing amends for the wrong reasons, and that's what I'm realizing today. I was trying to do my part so that I would feel better. but I hadn't even gotten better myself. I had to learn how to forgive myself and accept and surrender to who I am one day at a time so that I could look honestly at myself. And this trip through in the past 7 months, I've looked at who I really was. I did harm in my recovery time in this fellowship and another fellowship. And I didn't know how to really do the amends. And God has shown me, my sponsor has shown me, and my whole attitude towards life has changed because God's my hero today. Not me, not Jane. I've gotten out of myself. I've done the work. I've cleaned my house entirely now. And I have made so many different amends that I just can't. I haven't gotten thrown out of anybody's office, but I have had unexpected things happen. I'm hailing from Florida right now, and I'm here to make living amends to my ex-husband and family. My son just left. I was able to make amends to him this time, truly from my heart, and he accepted them this time. And all we're doing really is spending time and starting where we are right now today. And my ex-husband and his girlfriend are coming for lunch today with my gentleman friend and I, and we're going to just spend time together. And that's all part of my amends process today. I see that, I feel it, and I can just be who God wants me to be today. And that's my amend in this situation. Thank you very much. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Jane S. Appreciate you. So we're going to open up the phones and take a list of people who want to share on this topic. But before I do, let me remind you that we do value everyone's opinions. But we ask that if you share in the last 2 days, so Friday or Monday, please step back and let other people share so that they have an opportunity as well. So who would like to share on this topic?
Melissa C.
Melissa.
Paul P.
Robin D. in Costa Rica.
Robin.
Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon.
Mary Lee.
Paul P., Rhode Island.
Nice. I got you, Paul.
Okay. Thank you.
And take a few more. All right. Let's get the ball rolling with I have Melissa C., Paul P., Robin P., Mary Lee R. So if you're not Melissa C., please press star 1 and mute your phone. And Melissa, you press star 1 and unmute your phone. And let's get going.
Hello. Hello.
Hey. Good morning. Thanks so much, Nancy, for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I read this, I think, like, for me, like, one of the greatest difficulties I had was going to a colleague who I had bad feelings about her. You know, I was judging her, and yet I had stolen from this woman. And I had stolen, you know, of all things, I'm a compulsive overeater. What did I steal from people? I stole food. I stole candy. And a great defect for me has been my reputation. I thought everything, the most important thing to me was what other people thought of me. It was everything. And here's where I got extremely reliant on God, because I was afraid to go to this person because I had a whole story in my head, real or imagined, that she was a gossip. You know, and I knew she had like a community of friends who I felt like I would be judged and gossiped by. And I was afraid to make this amend to her because I felt like she was going to tell other people. And I had it justified in my mind for a while why I wouldn't have to do this, because I was like, well, it's going to cause harm. And really, the person it was going to cause harm to was me. But I did make that amend to her because I had this really strong feeling come over me. You know, it was a push from God, like, make this right, clean it up. And when I went to her and I told her what I had done, her response was, she shared with me that there were people in her family who have addiction, who have done this process, and she wished me well. And whether or not she told everybody, I have no clue. I'll never know. But it didn't matter anymore to me. You know, because what happened in this process was that my integrity became far more important than my reputation. And to me, it's ultimately, I care more what God thinks of me. And I want to be a demonstration. And I knew that I could not continue on until I cleaned this up. And it brought me great peace and comfort. And I don't worry today whether or not she told the world. It doesn't matter. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. And next up, Melissa C. is from New York. And next up, we have Paul P. from Rhode Island. Paul, press star one and share with us, please.
Thank you, Nancy. Paul P. from Rhode Island. Wow. The immense was so great for me on this particular day. A little background, the one person who I had to make amends with was a hairstylist, and I happened to go to his shop, and it was on a Monday, and usually they were all closed. So I drove up, I parked and shut the car off, and I just sat there and I waited, and all of a sudden he pulls up. He looks at me, I look at him, and he walks into his shop. So I go in, knock on the door, and introduce myself and started to explain what went on. But the point I want to get across is after that, I explained everything and we parted our ways. I went outside, got to my car, and I looked up to the sky and I said, thank you to my higher power ever so much. And it felt like the seas of the Jordan River just opened up and my path was so clean and clear for the rest of the day. And I loved every second of it. And I thank everybody who shares and who does service in this program. It's a wonderful thing, and I thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Paul P. from Rhode Island. Next up, we have Robin P. from Costa Rica, followed by Mary Lee R. from Washington, I believe. Robin P., you have the floor.
Thank you. Hi. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And so grateful for the meeting. Thank you, Nancy. My husband... And we got divorced, and I came into the program, and he invited me to go to church with him on Christmas Eve, and I heard God say, Merry Christmas, this is my gift to you, and we started dating, and we moved in together, and I did amends during that process, and he came into another program during that process. And we got happily remarried during the California wildfires of 2018, which we did not plan. And our friend's house, where we were having our wedding reception, burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. And our honeymoon resort burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. And we got stuck behind a wildfire. But we got happily married. And I always say the first marriage, we spiritually went through the fires. The second marriage, we literally went through the fires. And I got to work the steps during that year we were apart and make amends. And we have a wonderful marriage. Thank you, God. And to me, I get to make a living amends to him every day of my life. It's a powerful program, such a miraculous program, literally I believe we're all walking miracles. Thank you. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. And next up, we have Mary Lee R. from... Mary Lee, tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. from Eugene, Oregon. But it's really close to Washington, and Washington has been in my life for a long time. I feel such gratitude for our program and our steps, and the fact that they have led me to have a much closer and more intense relationship with my higher power, who I choose to call my divine director, but God is a shorter word for divine director. My daughter had a heart attack on Thursday, and Thursday was a day that I do electronic fasting. So, and she lives on my property, and I had gone swimming, and I had just this most blissful, God-centered day. And my sweetie came to my house and told me that my daughter had had a heart attack. And I immediately went into a little bit of guilt, actually into a lot of guilt. And then I just felt the hand of my divine director just coming down and touching my heart. And I was able to call my ex-husband, who I had not communicated with in quite a few decades. And we've both been in program for in other programs, or multiply blessed for many, many, many years. And he made his amends to me, which was totally divinely directed. And together, he's in Washington, I'm in Oregon, we were able to coordinate some prayer time, which was just such a blessing. And my warrior woman daughter, they were going to put a stent in. Lots of things happened, and that didn't happen. But they were able to put her on a heparin drip, and their clot hopefully has been dissolved. And she was able to come home on Sunday. And it just reminds me of how important it is to send out the love. And had just a little tiny glitch with my sweetie, and I went into blah, 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 the ego. You know, it just always wants me to be looking but never finding. And I just stopped myself. And again, I put my hand on my heart, and I just said, thank you, God. And, you know, it's 4:00 in the morning here, but I've been, anyway, I'm rattling on. I just really give appreciation for each and every one of your shares and this beautiful program, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee R., and prayers for your daughter. And we are ready to take another list of names. And so if you would like to share on this topic, we are on page 78, the first paragraph, starting with, in
Hello?
9 cases out of 10.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Can you hear? Oh, okay. All right. So also remind you, if you have shared on, if you are talking, please mute yourself. If you have shared on Friday or Monday, we ask you to step back so other people can share. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Debbie
like
B. Loretta
H. Bonnie
Loretta
H.
I heard a Debbie and a Loretta.
Bonnie.
Heidi.
Hanayeta R.
Okay, Hanayeta.
Roz G.
Lynn S.
Did you get Hanayeta?
I did get you, Hanayeta.
Thank
Lynn,
you.
Lynn S.
Christina
All
L.
Right, let me tell you who. Christina L. All right, let me tell you who I got. It was much easier the first go round. I have a Debbie, Loretta, Bonnie B, Viola, Heidi, Anayeta, Roz G, Lynn S, and Christina. Did I miss anybody who gave their name during this go-round? Okay, so we're going to start with Debbie. Debbie, if you give me the last initial of your name and where you're calling from, you have the floor, and you'll be followed by Loretta H.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Debbie B. as in boy from just outside of Salt Lake City, Utah, compulsive overeater. I love talking about amends. It is my favorite step, and about 20 years old, I worked for a company, and it was a job that I loved, and I was in an office with a woman that I felt I did everything, and she did nothing. She would come to work 3 hours late and then start calling friends, and so I had an intense resentment toward her. Well, I let go have maternity leave, and while I was gone, the director of the company would call me, and they had to hire out part of my work, and they had to have this person do part of my work, and they had three different people covering what I did every day, and she did none of it. So when I came back, I decided I was worth three people instead of one person. And in those days, in that company, they just had you write your hours down and how many you worked for the week. Well, I started increasing the hours that I wrote down more than I was actually working, thinking, well, I'm worth it, and she does nothing. I don't know how many years I did that, at least three. The guilt got to me, and so I wrote a letter to the director of the company back then, and I told him what I had done, and I made amends to him, and but he didn't require me to pay any of the money back, so I didn't. But fast forward, and I'm in program, and then I come to the amends part, and I realize I never paid that company back. And I had no idea how much to pay. I had no idea how much I had taken, but I just started making payments. And then every month or so, I would pray and ask God, have I paid enough? Have I paid enough? And it took a long time. It was a lot more money than I thought I was going to have to pay, but I will never forget the day that I prayed. And a warm, peaceful feeling came to me that I had paid enough. And I'm not sharing this so you'll think, oh, you're just so great that you paid that back. I'm sharing it because of the joy and the peace. And every time I look back on that and remember, or I start to feel discouraged in program, or, you know, maybe some cravings will start to come back, I just think about that amend, and I feel the peace again and again and again. And so that was just one of many amends that I had to make and that I continue to make. But the amends process is what opens the door to freedom, opens the door to joy and to peace. And it just is my favorite step. I'm so grateful for it and for this program. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Debbie B. from Utah. Next up, we have Loretta H., followed by Bonnie B. And if you'd tell us where you're calling from, that would be swell.
Good morning, Nancy, and good morning all, along with my precious God. You do save my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina, and I am a real compulsive overeater. I love this share. The shares were fabulous and are fabulous. And everything that happened to them has happened to me. I feel like the hand of God and the face of God came down and touched me the day I made amends to my dad, who I was supposed to show up for his death and did not, and actually avoided his funeral because he wanted to make amends to me because of his alcoholism. And I was in the throes of this disease. This was in 2001. And it took me 10 years because I had to deal with the military, but I actually gave him a military funeral. And on the day they put that flag in my hand, I swear God came down and touched my face and said, you are okay. He knows you're okay. He's up there. He has, and I know nobody can forgive you, but he has forgiven you. And I know he forgave me the day I walked into the room because he got me here. So with God's grace and mercy, you know, the amends process, I also believe that it is, it has saved my life. It has given me freedom, and it takes away the shame, the blame, and my complaining. And what it does is I claim. And when I claim, God comes down and puts his hand on my heart and says, okay, it's another day. Just be with by my side and everything will be okay. And I am so fortunate that I have this program and I get to do it this way, because I'm a real compulsive overeater and I eat myself. So I don't do that anymore with God's grace and mercy. You know, no God, no peace. No God, no peace. And I will not take a piece out of you or a piece out of myself, and I will, or the refrigerator. So no God, no real peace for freedom. Amen.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Bonnie B. from Florida, and she'll be followed by Viola. Bonnie, you have the mic.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, thanks. I'm going to start my timer. Thanks, Nancy, for moderating. The shares have been amazing. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God, for today living in the state of Florida. There's not one step in this program that I'm just not in awe of. And step 9 is, again, one of those steps. The very first sentence, in 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. You know, immediately my thoughts went to, you know, what's my motivation when I do an amends? When I went through the steps the first time, my motivation was to get through the steps. It was to check the list off. Not so much, actually. I mean, as I've gone through the steps multiple times after that, and as I draw closer to my Creator, I now understand that the motivation has to be the motive. It has to be driven by a motive, and the motive has to always be connected to God. Someone in program said, and it became one of my lifelong nuggets, it's okay to have a goal, as long as the goal is not attached to an outcome. If it's attached to an outcome, it's an idol. If it's an idol, it takes the place of God. So what I have to do on a daily basis, because life continues to happen, is to ask God to do the unexpected, right? But the unexpected is inside of me. And if it happens to produce something on the outside that blesses someone else, then all the glory goes back to God. But the unexpected, the change, has got to be on the inside of me. He has to give me. I used to say, God, please give me a different set of glasses. Please help me to see these people like you see them. Think the same thoughts that you think. Want what you want. Wish what you would wish for them, which is always going to be the best. And recently I've been asking God, because I've been going through something that's incredibly challenging, I've been asking God to do cataract surgery. Like, totally change my vision, because I can't see it. I don't understand it. And yet there is definite pain, and it's not just my pain. It's on the, there's pain in my family. And so the process is beautiful, because it goes from me trying to direct everything in this step 9 regarding the amends to laying it all at the foot of the cross on a daily basis, asking for God to do what only God can do. And when God prompts, when he lays it upon my heart, it's time. That might be removed. And when it's time, it's time. And that means he's done what he needs to do inside of me so that I don't hurt other people. So that when I show up, they can hear my heart and I can speak as he would want me to speak. I am so blessed for this program, and I'm so grateful for each of you. And I just hope that you all have a blessed day today, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. And next up, we have Viola. Viola, if you could give me the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, that would be swell. Viola, press star 1. Did I hear a Viola? Viola, press star one. All right, we're going to circle back to Viola, and let's move on to Herbie. Herbie, can I have the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please? Is there a
Herbie? I think it was Heidi B.
Oh, yeah. Heidi, Herbie, Heidi. Heidi, please share with us.
Same difference, I know. Good morning. Thanks, Nancy, for your service. And thanks to everybody on the line for your service today. It's been a long time since I shared, so I thought I would just claim my seat. This paragraph, it always reminds me of a particular amends that I've not had the opportunity of making, have metaphorically been thrown out of someone's office. There's one person who I used to work for who I owed an amends to, and when I first went through my 8-step list, had decided that it would cause harm to make this amends. I had a lot of fear around it. It meant that I might possibly go to jail. And so, I didn't want to do it, and I got my ideas supported by some other fellows, and, I thought, all right, it'll cause harm, and I thought I moved on, but God really put it on my heart, and for months, I just felt it really heavily on my heart that I needed to make this amends, and so I finally did reach out, and I know that she got my messages because she did respond once or twice, a phone message that I left at her office, and then an email. But when I, followed up again after each of those to ask for time to meet, she did not respond to that question. And I reached out several times, many, many times over almost a year, I think. And, finally, I just came out and said in an email, which was the only one that she was responding, I would like to make an amends. And then I really never heard back from her again. And so it's water over the dam. But the thing is that I guess the miracle of it for me is that I'm not scared anymore. And I stand ready at any time to make this amends. And I really, really believe in my heart of hearts that God is going to present me with that opportunity. This person keeps popping up on my social media, on my LinkedIn, and, I really believe that I'll have the opportunity to make it. And the most important thing for me is really that I stand ready to do that today. And that's only through the grace of a higher power that is working in my life in such an incredible way. I just want to share that. And again, just claim my seat. And so with that, I will pass. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you, Heidi B. And she's from New York. And next up, we're going to have Hanayeta. Hanayeta, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Nancy. Thank you. This is Hanayeta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas. And I'm going to try to watch the time myself, too. This paragraph I had all these things happen. I started making amends many, many years ago the first time around with the steps. Well, I take that back, second time around with the steps. And, I most of my amends were financial amends because I had done like insurance fraud, unfortunately. And there were some that I didn't remember who they were from, what companies, so what I did with my sponsor and I decided that I would start giving money to charity. We decided how much I had taken, and I started giving money to charity until that amount was paid off. If I didn't have enough money, then I would do I would volunteer, like at a hospital or a children's wing or something, somewhere that they took people that would volunteer to work with the children or just work in the hospital as a volunteer. So I had to pay it all back. But one time I did call someone, and it was an insurance company, at first this woman said, no, you don't have to pay that. It's more trouble for us to take that back than it is to we had already written it off several years ago, and, you know, it's just, and I said, no, I really need to pay this back. So we worked out a payment plan, and I started paying it back. But before we hung up, I said, what is your name? She said, my name is Joy. I said, oh, I love the name Joy, and it's so perfect for this because this is definitely going to bring me joy. So about a month later, I was sitting at a meeting, and a woman walked in, and I said, oh, hi, you must be new. She goes, yeah, and I said, what's your name? She said, my name is Joy. And I said, oh, I love the name Joy. And she goes, is your name by any chance? And back then, my name was Cindy. Is your name by any chance Cindy? And I said, yes. She goes, I'm the Joy that was on the phone with you. And it was because of you that I came to this meeting. And eventually, we became very best friends. But we never know whose heart we're touching when we're doing this work. And to me, that was a real miracle. And so another time I had gone, I had to pay.
Gentle reminder.
Okay, thank you. I won't go into this one then. But I do believe that it's all a miracle. I do believe that the newcomer is the most important person at the meeting. And I'm so glad you're here. And just don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thank you, Nancy, again for your service. And everybody have a blessed day. Thanks.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. from Texas. And next up, we have Roz G., and I'm going to put a call out, Roz, before you talk, for a viola, if there was a viola out there. Roz, take the floor, please. Roz G.? Press star one, Roz. Okay. Why don't we move on to Lynn S., and then we'll come back to Roz and Viola.
This is Roz G. I had a problem with the muting.
Okay. Hey, Roz, you have the floor.
I'm sorry about that, but it was like all over the place with my phone. Okay. So, I'm Roz G. I want to thank you for your service. I am, thank you, God, a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And I thank God for neutrality towards food because I am almost repulsed by food that I would have died for years ago. I just don't want to go there. And I've been presented with it over the past few days. But I just have the attitude of humility with that and thankfulness. And same with these amends. You know, years back when I was early on in program, very early, 20 some years ago, I was, under welfare fraud for hiding about $10,000 from the welfare department because I didn't want my husband to find it. And when they caught up with me, they wrote me a letter. I had to present myself, but I had been in program, and my sponsor told me to tell them the truth and to tell them that you're not that same person because I was just trying to survive. And they came to my apartment, and they saw my apartment and how I lived as a single mom with three young children and no help from a husband, and they forgave me from all of it. And the lady actually cried. She came to my apartment, and I told her I was in a program, and she cried. And I never heard from the welfare fraud again. And today I give amends to myself. I'm 61 years old. I'm going to be 62 in August. I've been battered. I don't mean battered by people, but myself. I battered my body with food, with relationships that weren't working, and with overspending, so many things, just to try to quell the God-shaped hole inside of me. I treated myself terribly. Low self-worth, didn't think I was worthy of so many things. And through these steps, they've given me a self-worth God has given me and said, I love you, you know. I want you to treat you like I would treat you. And I treat myself with so much love and care. I give myself good sleep. I give myself good dental care. I give myself a plan. I give myself time. I make myself good food. And I try to treat others with love and respect as I would be treated, because I have not done that very well, and I'm getting better at it. So I hope that all the stuff I've done to people, I've given amends for. I'm going through a new step process now, and I may have some more. Okay, to wrap it up, say I hope that it's all water over the dam now. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. And next up, we have Lynn S. from Canada. Lynn, you have the floor.
Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, I was just sitting here thinking about amends as we do while we're reading this. And I remember one that I had made. My boss actually phoned me and said that I had made somebody in the office cry. And I felt really badly about it. And so the next morning I went in and I asked if I could speak to the lady, and she came down to my office. And it was really quite a unique experience for me. It was one of those, you know, when you have the out-of-body moments and you're kind of watching it happen. And the amends I was making to this lady was really an amends that I was making to all the countless people that I had done exactly the same thing to, spoken exactly the same way to, driven them crazy. You know, it was really something. And I was sitting there talking to her, and she said to me, you know, I pray every morning that you're going to die in the middle of the night so you don't come into work that day. And it didn't even faze me. What it did do was it just reinforced in me the amount of hurt that I had caused people by my tone of voice, by my attitude, by my abruptness, by my demanding of certain things. Like it was just the most amazing thing. I'll tell you, when the emotion is removed from the situation and you can just see clearly. And I remember asking her, this was the first time I'd ever done it too, is there anything I can do to make it better? And she said, just let me do my job. And I thought of all the service people on the phone where I had pulled, you know, that tone of voice, that demanding, that let me speak, that, you know, whole, geez, demeanor that I would pull off so quickly. It was just the most amazing experience. And I think, you know, somebody else had shared saying the motive always has to be directed by God. And this certainly was an amends that was directed by God. And that ability to clear up years worth of attitude and have that removed from me, because I know the amends is a change in behavior. And I do speak differently to people now, especially service people on the phone. And it just reminded me this morning, like, let us do our job. And there was some service company that I was going to phone this morning. And thank you, Nancy. Try asking them if they could reconsider their response. No, they've done their job. And God is now doing his and mine. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Lynn S. from Canada. And next up, we have Christina. If you would give us the initial of your last name and the state you're calling from, that would be great. Please press star one and share.
Good morning. This is Christina L. from Florida, recovering compulsive overeater. And I have really been hesitant in sharing for the last couple of months since I came back from relapse last July, but really trying to stay in the middle of the herd. So I finally did a 10th step before I'm sharing right now. So anyways, this paragraph was kind of easy for me to share on because like so many other people have shared, you know, in the last couple of days anyway, you know, the amends was something that I really feared when I first came into 12-step recovery. And I really did not want to go through with this process. And I believe at one point I had even switched sponsors. And although it wasn't the main reason why I was switching sponsors at the time, but the thought was there, you know, that it was a pro that I wouldn't have to go through the amends process right away and stuff because I'd be starting over. But when I did get to it and was faced with one of my most feared amends, I had been let go from a job because the new pastor was making some changes and he let go of the entire office pretty much. And I was not happy with that. And, you know, I did some things. I erased the files on my computer and I won't go into all the details of the things that I did. But long story short, I was still working in the church, in a different church and in the same diocese. And I was so afraid of going to this man and telling him, you know, all the things that I had done. And there were some rumors going around that I had done them because some of the parishioners from that church had asked me if I had, and I completely denied it. And but I knew it was something that I had to do because I really wanted freedom. And as scared as I was going to make that amends, you know, the line that really that I always remember back with this particular amends was, years, where'd it go? Years standing, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. And I remember thinking about that line while I was actually in the office with him. And it was nothing that I had expected. I thought for sure that I would lose my job, you know, that it would end my time in the church. Thank you. I'll just wrap up. The things that he said were completely contradictory to that. And in fact, he told me that, you know, I am still a part of that church and not to be a stranger. So with that, I'll pass. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Christina L. from Florida. And we have time for a 2-minute share. Anybody want to take that space and take us out today?
Kim A. in Oregon.
Okay, Kim, you've got it. Kim A. of New York. Please share with us.
Oh, hello. Thank you. This is Kim A. from New York City. You know, my experience with amends is that I'm not ready to make all of them at the same time, and that's okay. We're not necessarily expected to be willing to make every single amends that we need to make. And, you know, we don't wait to make our amends in step 9 to go on to step 10, because steps 10, 11, and 12, in my experience and the way I was sponsored, that's what keeps us growing, right? And that's what really allows us to stay recovered, because we're seeing in real time the way our flawed thinking is affecting us every day. And, you know, when I first came in, and I think, you know, a lot of people probably have this experience, like, we may not know much about the steps, but we know at some point we're going to have to make amends. And I was told, like, don't think about that, right? The steps are written in order for a reason, and we follow them in sequence. So I'm on step 1, or step 0 even, worried about step 9. And you know, that doesn't make any sense, because by the time I got to step 9, I worked the steps pretty fast, so it wasn't even that long of a period of time. By the time I got there, I had so much more humility, and I had so much more understanding of why I needed to do it. And even today, I still need to check my motives. When I'm making amends, unless it's really obvious and I was just like not nice to somebody or something, which doesn't happen so much anymore, I need to run it by my sponsor, because my thinking is off, right? That's the thinking that would lead me to food. My thinking is still off. And sometimes I think I owe amends when I don't. Or sometimes I want to make amends because I don't want somebody to be upset with me, or because I want
That's
to feel better. Thanks. That's not what amends is for. Amends is to clean up the past. It's not an apology. It's asking somebody else how I can make things right after I'm telling them how my defects have affected my behavior. And I'll pass with that. This is Kim A. from New York City. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim A., and thank you, everyone who shared today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing of this first hour. The share ID for today, Tuesday, February 7th, is 22,155. That's 22155. We'll close now with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Lynn S., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.